Hallelujah. Well, think about what you have in Christ. Philippians chapter 2. Think about what you have in Christ. We've been talking about thinking about. I think Roger Williams sang a song, think about forgetting about your worries and your woes. Put a smile on your face. Walking in the sunshine, sing a little sunshine song. Put a smile upon your face as if there's nothing wrong. Think about a good time had a long time ago. Think about forgetting about your worries and your woes. Walking in the sunshine, singing a long sunshine song. Think about forgetting about your worries and your woes. Sometimes we're guilty of thinking about our worries and our woes. So if we're going to think about our worries and woes, let's think about forgetting about our worries and our woes. Let's be restored in our minds and replace those thoughts. How do we do that? Where can we do that? Well, if we know the Lord, we know. Think about Jesus. Think about what we have in Him. What do I have in Him? Remember, we talked about encouragement and how we agree that everybody needs encouragement. Everybody likes encouragement, and we just brought out just a little bit of a thought of being able to receive encouragement. We want the encouragement, but then to be able to receive it when it comes. And then, of course, we want to receive the encouragement that comes from God, and God's promises last forever, and so His encouragement is always there. And everything around us will try to keep us from that encouragement of God. People try to convince people that there is no God, and if there is no God, then there can't be that encouragement. But those who have experienced the encouragement of God, who have experienced God, know that God's real. And there's nothing like His encouragement. There's nothing like His presence. We talked about the sharing of the Spirit, sharing in the Spirit, and the Spirit who brings revelation, the Spirit who leads us into all truth. The Spirit says God's real and that God's encouragement is real and that God cannot fail. The Holy Spirit tells us this. And He doesn't speak of Himself. The Bible says He speaks from the Father. You see, He hears God better than any of us. And He speaks to us in a language that we can understand. God says, "Hear, Holy Spirit, tell them." Until such a time as we want to hear from Him, from Jesus, and from the Holy Spirit altogether. You see, we still have a tendency, just a tiny little bit, to be like Israel, who said, "You talk to God, we don't want to hear Him." And that's because if we don't want to hear God, it's because we don't know Him the way that we should know Him, and so we have expectations of what He would say or should say, and how He should act, you see. But so He sent Jesus to show us Him. And if we think about Jesus, we see how He really wants to be, and we can forget all of that stuff that took place in the Old Testament as God was trying to teach Israel just to trust Him. More people will be inclined to think about the punishment Israel received than to think about the fact that no matter how bad, dumb, stupid, and rebellious they were, God said, "I just want to love you. I just want to love you." He would warn them in advance. He'd say, "You're going to do all of this stuff." You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to say, hey, if He says we're going to do that stuff, we know what to avoid. Rather than saying, "Oh, there I did it. Now God's mad at me." He sent Jesus to take care of our sins. What an amazing thing. And the Holy Spirit draws us through Christ to the Father. And the Holy Spirit says, "This is an amazing thing." And it's a song the angels can never sing, "Amazing Grace." Amazing. It is amazing. And that's why it's important for us to think about what we have in Christ. Think about what he has done until we understand what we have and what we can always have. What we have in Christ. You see, we have all of these things. We have this in our earthen vessel. We have this encouragement. We have this comfort of his love. And to those that have experienced the comfort of his love, that makes perfect sense. The comfort of his love. Because the comfort of his love just overrules everything else when we get into the comfort of his love. You know, it's like a child cuddling on their mother's lap. The comfort of the love. It's like people who give their lives for other people, who step in front of a bullet or throw themselves on a grenade or push somebody out of the way of a moving car and get run over, and they had such great love that they cared for that. Now, for a person to do that for a stranger, that's a God-given love. Because the Bible says that, you know, maybe sometimes for someone close, but for a stranger, and yet Jesus, though we weren't strangers, before we ever knew him, before we ever loved him, before we ever had any affection for him whatsoever, he just said, I'm taking care of the sins. I got sin covered. So if we can just get over the fact that somehow or another we're going to make up for our sins, and we can just take the forgiveness and just take the comfort of that love and just say, you know what, I'm forgiven. I'm going to look at how Jesus was, and Jesus revealed the Father, and how was Jesus towards sinners? He's just full of compassion. I mean, he would say these startling things like, I don't condemn you, but just go and sin no more. How dare him tell me not to sin anymore, you know? That woman didn't say that at all. She said, whoopee. I think she maybe did a little praise and thanksgiving. She was the only one left there to show everybody else, wow, I'm forgiven. That's a comfort of his love. Knowing that love, and when we've known that love, it makes perfect sense. And when somebody says something about that love, as I was writing the devotion and I talked about the comfort of his love, every now and then I just get stalled. And I can't really think of much. And so when I can't really think of much, I say, if you know it, you're thinking the same thing I'm thinking. You're now distracted and you should be off in that love of God somewhere. You know, just kind of, oh yeah. Because you know, when you know about that, that love bears witness with your spirit. You know? That's why when something that stirs that up in you in a movie or something, you bear witness with that, and all of a sudden you're not thinking about the movie anymore. You're thinking about that same kind of love, that same kind of thing that you're experiencing. You're just kind of thinking, and then if you have DVR, you have to back it up to see what else was said, because you're caught up in that, and you're kind of tearing up because, oh, that great love. And that's why the Bible says, think about what you have in Christ. Think about the comfort of his love. Everything in the world is not comfortable. But when it's uncomfortable, think about the comforter. Think about his love. Think about it. You know, it's like a lot of times you hear Christians, you know, and it's like, even though Paul said, don't be surprised when people persecute you, you know. It's like you hear Christians and all they can think about, oh, it's just getting so tough to be a Christian. You know, everybody's against you if you're a Christian. They're trying to take it out of our schools, you know. It's like, oh my goodness, they're prejudiced against me, you know. Brother, you ever experienced any prejudice? Yeah, you know. And it ain't comfortable. Oh, not you, Ray. Everybody just puts up with you. Yeah, I'm just kidding. Because you dazzle them. No, but you do, don't you? You know? I mean, it's that, well, everybody has that for some reason about something. It doesn't have to have to do with race or color or anything like that. It's like, you know, if you're in junior high and you're a good athlete, people can hate you because you're an athlete. Or if you're a pretty girl, you think you're all that, even if you don't think you're all that. You know? Now, if you're tall, dark, and handsome, you know, somebody has something against you for that. Right? Sure. And then you double it up, you know, and it's like, whoa! I mean, it's like, it's really kind of funny because our fifth child after Josiah died, our fifth child is our oldest daughter. Our oldest daughter goes with a man who's tall, dark, and handsome. And a lot of times people will say, "Is she still with that boy?" You know? It's like, yeah, he's a good guy. If he just asked her to marry her, you know. But you know, I mean, it's like, so we got that kind of thing going on, and you can do one of two things. You can think about the comfort of his love, or you can get mad, or sad, or depressed, or despondent. Or figure out a way to get vengeance, or whatever the case might be. But we all know, if we've experienced, if we know a little bit about God's love, that it's really best to think of what we have in Christ. You know? Think about what that does for you. If you think about what you have in Christ, the comfort of His love, holy God, make me holy, merciful God, make me merciful too, loving God, make me loving. You know? I don't think anybody has perfected love yet, except for Jesus Christ. And so if we will think about Him and what we have in Him and think about what He is like, then all of a sudden we begin to get the comfort of God's love. Because we think about the love that He has for us. And you know, that song, I can only imagine. Most of the time when I'm singing it, I'm thinking, I really can't imagine. I do not have the ability to imagine what it will be like when I'm walking somewhere else by His side than I am right now. Because He said the kingdom of heaven is nigh you. It's right here. Enjoy me here and now. And I have to tell you, I enjoy Him here and now. And it just doesn't matter. I'm putting that piece on the edge of the shed. You know, you got to fill a whole property or something like that. You know, but I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at this space in this, and I'm saying, you know, I want to make it as nice as I can in case Vicky wants me to move. You know, but not really that. The thing is, here's what I really thought when I looked at that. I said, that space. When I was in Russia, there were three families living in a space like that. And nicely. I admired their use of space. If I admire their use of space, why do I have all that junk that I should be throwing away? I would have a lot more space in my garage right now, but for some junk. But actually, it's big pieces in there now. You know, mostly big. And still some junk. But, you know, you think about that, and I don't feel bad about it. I'm comforted by His love because I trust Him that when I pray about something that He hears me, and if He didn't want me to do that, then I wouldn't do that. Anything that He would want, that's what I want, because if I do what He wants, then I'm always walking in that spot that I want to be. In the most important thing, the comfort of His love. And yet His love is not dependent upon my performance. But my reception of it is. Because you see, His love is steadfast. It never ceases. But there's something about our ability to just blanket receive that love. Especially the more that we get to know Him, we have this feeling that we've got to at least perform up to some sort of a standard to get that love. But He says, I'll be a father to you. All of my kids don't always do exactly what I want to. Any of you have kids that have done such a thing? Today, before I left, the house, I put my arm around Joshua and I said, well, since you're still resisting the Holy Spirit, here's something you can do while you're not here, but you know I don't give up. And he's got this nice lady friend. I said, he's a marked man and you're a marked woman because I'm praying for you. May as well just leave a little something with them. You know? Man, I wonder if somebody would have done that for me when I was 10. I could have avoided a lot of problems maybe if I'd have just said, huh? You talk to God? You think God hears you? Tell me about this real God. Nobody ever told me about a real God. I'm telling you, folks, we got a real God. Realer than we know and more ready than we can imagine to do abundantly above and beyond what we can hope or imagine, and we can take comfort in his love. So think about what you have in Christ. The comfort of his love. How has he comforted you by his love, or how could he have comforted you at a time if you would have let him? You see, these are the things we need to consider. And we don't consider the times that we failed to have him comfort us as, oh no, man, I really blew it, but we consider, man, now I know how. Now I know how. See, like yesterday, I was putting the sheeting up on the side of the wall, and I pretty much thought that I knew how, but you know what? I got somebody I can call to check. And so I call Jeff, and he says, yeah, you know, the sheeting will cover it. Don't worry about it, you know? Well, that's comforting to know that what I probably did wrong at first, it will get covered. But then all by myself, I thought, hey, this is going to be on the inside. I can cover it. So I cheated to make it easier. They call it cheating, but it's not really. It's adjusting. It's adjusting, you know? Well, this is the thing that we need to do. We need to adjust. We need to adjust to God's way. Adjust to God's thinking. Adjust to those promises of God. Say, oh, now I know how. You see, it's a lot better to think you know how and then have it confirmed than just say, oh, it doesn't really matter. You know? And so it doesn't bother me to ask somebody that knows more than I do. And consequently, it shouldn't bother us to ask God, who knows more than anybody. Now, I'm sure that I could pray and say, God, your son was a carpenter. Which way should I do this? But you know, I think that if I did that, God would say, I gave you a carpenter. Ask him. I'm already sort of planning, Jeff. I think you and I could be a construction crew. One who knows what to do and one who can help. Yeah. With you and God, all things are possible. And so it's important that we train ourselves to think about what we have in Christ. And here's the deal. There is no encouragement like encouragement from one who you love and who you know loves you. You see, the comfort of his love. When we talk about encouragement, we acknowledge that we like encouragement. We like to hear, good job. I see lots of responses to some of your posts, Raylene, about good for you, good job, keep it up. You know? And every now and then she has a post and I write back, what's that? I'm a great one to vent to. I bring it all into perspective. Just got to bring my own into perspective, you know? But, you know, there's nothing like being encouraged by one who loves you and one you love. And so it's so important that we know the love of God. That we hold to the love of God. That we that we're like Jacob when he wrestled and he said, I won't let go till you bless me. Until we come to that place where we have understanding of what the Word of God is talking about, so that when we say the comfort of His love, we go, oh, yeah, the comfort of His love. Oh, yeah. Because you see, when you're open to the comfort of His love, you're open to His encouragement. You're open to what He says. And pretty soon, you go to what He says. That's what you want. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from Him. You know? Have you ever been thinking about something? You're having a really good thought and somebody's interrupting you and you finally say, wait a minute! I do believe that DVRs are a gift to men who have a wife and a daughter in the same room. I really do. Or, yeah, here we go. But I mean, now think about this, okay? I've never sat and watched a show without pausing, looking, waiting, play. Now, it's amazing to me how it can remain silent while I've got it paused. Why not finish the conversation while it's paused? And no. It's got to get going again before the conversation starts again. Don't get uncomfortable, honey. It's okay. I'm sure it's all my fault, you know. She'll say, he has it so loud, I don't know why it bothers him when we talk. That's what she'll say. But it does. You know, that foreign noise coming in. So then you can just rewind and take that. Now, what does this have to do with anything? I have absolutely no idea. But it spoke to somebody, you maybe, you know. But, you know, here's the deal. That's what we need to do. We need to stop and think about the comfort of His love. Think about what we have in Christ. If we stop, just think, if we stop, we won't have to rewind and fix something. We just stop. And we receive the Holy Spirit and His guidance and the comfort of God's love. And when we push play, the whole thing plays out a whole lot different than it would have if we didn't stop and think about the fellowship we have in the Holy Spirit, the encouragement and the comfort of His love. It changes things, folks. It changes things. And that's why God gave it to us, so that we can change things, so that we can hit pause. You see, it doesn't ruin the night if I have to hit pause. It doesn't end life if I even rewind. When we take the time to think about what we have in Christ, it'll change the story. It'll change our actions. It'll change our responses. It'll change our plans. It'll change everything. Because no matter what, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to hit bumps, but I'll smooth them. You're going to run into mountains, but I'll move them. You're going to run into trails that look so crooked, but I'll straighten them. All of these things, he said, these things are not a problem, but here's something that you can do to help you. Think about what you have in Christ. The comfort of His love. Think about the comfort of His love. Think about how He's comforted you by His love. Think about what the comfort of His love could have done in places if we would have thought about the comfort of His love. Think about it. And as we think about, it says, think about these things. What's right and just and pure and praiseworthy. Think about these things. Thank you, Father, that you've given us something to think about. Something good and something wonderful, something perfect, something true, something pure, something full of hope, something full of strength, the comfort of your love. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.